For this morning's reading, with God's help, I'd like to read from the Gospel according to John, chapter number 7. Gospel according to John, chapter number 7. It's a lengthier chapter, but I'd like, with God's help, to read the entire chapter. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his own glory, or seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But, lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Get a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers said, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. We read the entire chapter. May God bless his holy word. And this past Sunday in the afternoon, we read of the accounts of the young man who came to Jesus, and he said unto him, Good master. He addressed Jesus and called him good master and asked him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And as the brother explained last week in the message, when Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? It wasn't as if Jesus was saying that he himself was not good. That's not what Jesus was saying. But rather he was asking the young man, Why are you specifically calling me good? Because Jesus saw through him, he knew his heart, as Jesus knows all of our hearts. He saw that man for who he was. And he's saying, Why are you calling me good when you don't want to listen to my commandments? Why are you calling me good? Because to you, in particular, I am not good. You don't believe in me. You're not ready to surrender. You're not ready to accept my teachings in their fullness. And so that has gotten me on the train of thought this past week of, who do we say that Jesus is in our own life? Have we accepted him? Do we call him our Lord? Do we call him our master? Do we call him good master? And what does that look like in our life? And where does this recognition, this realization come from? How can we know who Jesus is? Because we read here in this chapter of John chapter 7 that there were people with different thoughts about Jesus. We read here in the beginning of the chapter that even his own brethren, the brethren of Jesus, did not believe in him. They were tempting him and saying, Do these things openly. Do these miracles openly. Show yourself to the world. And they were saying that because they didn't really believe who he was. The chapter here explains that. The ones who grew up with him didn't even believe in him. They wanted him to display a vain show of his abilities. But that's not why Jesus came. If we are to accept Jesus into our hearts, it is done so quietly. Jesus comes into our hearts quietly. He didn't want to go around and proclaim loudly who he was, because then some people wanted to take him and make him a ruler, make him a king over them, which is not why he came. He didn't come to be a king of an earthly kingdom, but he came to be a king of a heavenly kingdom, an everlasting kingdom without end. So his own brethren didn't believe in him, and even some of the people said some good things about him here. In verse 12, we read that there was a murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man, and others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. See, the opinions of Jesus were split. Some called him good, and some said, No, he's deceiving, he's lying. And even a few verses later, some of them said in verse 25, Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. So there's a confusion about who Jesus was. There was a mix of opinions, and there was confusion. The people weren't quite sure who Jesus was. They saw good things about him. They saw that his Maybe his character was good. They saw that his teachings were maybe good, and then they called him maybe a good man. But that's as far as human wisdom and human understanding can take us. We can say certain things about Jesus and maybe say he's good, but that's as far as our understanding can possibly take us. But it must be God himself that reveals unto us who Jesus Christ, his son, is, that he is the Christ. It must be of God that we receive that. We of our own selves can never truly know or understand who Christ is. That has to be given unto us by God himself. In Romans, we read that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God's goodness leads us to repent, because God in his goodness wants to save us. So God in all his goodness leads us to repentance. God in his goodness reveals unto us who his son is, to us individually. We in this flesh are limited. And we read that in the gospel according to John just a few chapters earlier. In John chapter 3, Jesus says in verse 6, actually we can read verse 5 as well. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So Jesus here is differentiating something that is fleshly and something that is spiritual. There are two different things. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which we can understand and comprehend of our own selves, that's one thing. But that which is of the Spirit is something entirely different. We will never come to an understanding of who God is of ourselves, because that's of our flesh. We can't obtain the goodness of God. We can't obtain an understanding of God according to our own flesh. That's one thing. But what is of the Spirit is Spirit. That's a completely different thing. When the Spirit of God works with our spirit that he gives us and proclaims that we are his, that's a whole separate matter that we can't come to by ourselves. It must be God that reveals unto us who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. And that's even what Jesus was looking for from his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, it's a very clear example where Jesus speaks the same idea. John chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, we read that Jesus came and he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So again, there were mixed opinions of Jesus. Just as we read in John chapter 7, some people believed him, and some people didn't. Some people said that he was John the Baptist, some said that he was Elijah, some said that he was Jeremiah. There was a split opinion. Even if we remember, Herod had John the Baptist killed. We know the story how John the Baptist told Herod that he was not allowed to be with another woman who was not his wife, and his life was required for that. Herod had him killed. And then when Jesus came about teaching and preaching, Herod heard about this man Jesus, and he thought that this was John the Baptist risen from the dead. So there are many opinions about Jesus, who he truly was. But then Jesus asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, always being the spokesman of the group, Simon Peter answers and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So he's saying, "Peter, you proclaim that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've confessed me. That revelation was not given unto you of yourself. That had to be given unto you from my Father, which is in heaven. He hath revealed this unto thee, Simon. And because of that, thou art blessed." He said, "Blessed art thou," because of this confession of who Jesus was. The Christ. The Christ is not a name, but it's a title given to Jesus. Jesus is a name, meaning God saves. And Christ is a title, meaning anointed one or Messiah. It's a title. So Peter proclaims, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This revelation was only given to him by God. There is no other way that we can obtain this knowledge. that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah, the one who is sent to save us. This revelation is not of ourselves. It can only come from God. And Jesus even says that no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. The Father calls us unto his Son through his Holy Spirit and reveals unto us who his Son is. But then Jesus himself says, seek me and ye shall find me. So is this a contradiction? It's not. If we seek him, we shall find him. And yet, no man can find him or come unto him unless the Father reveals him. This is not a contradiction. What the Bible is teaching us is that when we seek him, when we seek Jesus with all of our heart, we will find him. Not because we ourselves will find him. We ourselves cannot come to this understanding of who he is. We cannot find him ourselves, but God will show us who his Son is. The Father will reveal unto us who his Son is. When we seek him, when God sees that we are seeking him with all of our heart, and everything else in our life is of minimal importance, when we are seeking him with our whole heart, the Father will show unto us, reveal unto us who his Son is, that his Son is the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah. We will come to this understanding when we seek him. It's a guarantee, it's a promise. It cannot be that we seek the Lord with all of our heart and we won't find him. It cannot be. We will find him if we seek him with all of our heart, and everything in our life that's distracting us passes away and is of no importance to us anymore. Then we will know who Jesus Christ is in all of his fullness, and we will love him. Because to know Jesus, to know who he is to love him. It's one and the same. We can't say that we know Jesus and not love him. That's a contradiction. It makes no sense. We cannot say that we know Jesus and not love him. And if we love him, what will we do? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the proof that we love him, when we listen to him, when we obey him. And his commandments are not grievous unto us. We don't look at the commandments of Jesus and think that they are hard, think that they are burdensome, difficult to follow. But when we love him, we keep his commandments, and then we know him. We can't say that we know him and not love him and follow him. That all goes together. So to know Jesus is to love him. And to know Jesus really is salvation, is what the Bible teaches us. To know who Jesus is, to really and truly know him, accept him into our hearts, is salvation itself. That's even what Jesus says in his prayer. In John chapter 17, when Jesus prays, he lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he prays to his heavenly Father. Jesus says in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So when we know him, when we know the Father and we know his Son, whom he sent, we have eternal life. This sounds simple, and it is. It's supposed to be simple. We think of Philip teaching the eunuch, really expounding the truths of God's word to this eunuch that was sitting in his chariot in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 8 off the top of my head. I'm not sure. This eunuch was reading, and he didn't understand from the book of Isaiah what he was reading. And Philip came, and he explained to him that the book of Isaiah was speaking of Jesus being crucified, offering up his life for us. And this eunuch, after we don't know how much time they spent together in counseling, we don't know, but regardless, they spent some time together reading God's word together. And eunuch said, what must I do? Or what hinders me to be baptized? What's stopping me? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. It's simple. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or something to that effect. He confessed him and accepted him into his heart, and then he could be baptized. There was nothing else hindering him. He believed with all of his heart. So if we say that we believe, and yet we don't love him and we don't do his commandments, we don't repent, then we don't know him. And then our baptism is meaningless. We can say with our mouth, we believe, but if love and obedience and repentance don't follow, then we truly don't know him. We truly have not confessed that he is the Christ. To know him is life eternal. And to confess him Romans tells us, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. This is salvation. This is what it means to be saved, to confess him, to say that Jesus is the Christ. He is my Lord. He is my master. When we have a personal relationship with him, that's revealed unto us only by God. We can come to this understanding, again, only because of what God does for us, how he works in our hearts. There are many examples in Scripture of those who confessed Christ, who said who he was openly, plainly. We think of Nathanael, who was sitting under a tree, and Jesus from afar off saw him and knew what he was thinking about, knew what he had been reading. And Nathanael, when he realized this, he confessed him and said, "Thou art the Christ." We think of Martha, whose her brother Lazarus had just passed away, and she told Jesus, "If you were here earlier, he wouldn't have died." And she says, I know my brother's going to resurrect in the last day." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection." And he brought Lazarus back to life. And Martha says, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Messiah." At that moment, it clicked in her mind. God revealed unto her who Jesus was. There are many examples in Scripture. Thomas, after his doubting, it was revealed unto him by God who Jesus was. And he confessed him and says, "My Lord and my God." So these confessions, these realizations come to us by God. Try as we might by ourselves, try as we might by our own goodness, our own understanding, we'll never come to a realization of who Christ is. He'll never be real unto us. He'll never be our personal Lord and Master, our personal Savior, unless that's given unto us by God. And it's not as if God is trying to hide this from us. It's not as if God is sending us on some wild chase to find out who he is, but it's simple. It's simple. It's easy to find him. It's not difficult. All we have to do is search him with our whole hearts. And again, everything else falls away. The significance of whatever it is that's holding us back falls away, and we repent of our sins, we recognize that we've done wrong, and we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. This is what it means to be saved. This is life eternal, to know Jesus, to know who he is, to confess him. We can think of Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and they asked him, I can't remember which disciple, or maybe he doesn't even say in particular. The disciples asked him, how is it that thou wilt make thyself manifest unto us and not unto the world? How is it, Jesus, that you are making yourself known to us, your disciples, and not unto the world? And Jesus responds, and he says, it's not possible that the world would know who he is. It's not possible that the world can look at Jesus and understand him. In John chapter 1, we read that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is man left to his own understanding. We will never comprehend who he is. The world and the world's love for sin, the world's love for pride and lifting up self, the world will never know who Jesus is. And they hate him, even as we read in this chapter, because Jesus testified that the works of this world are evil. And so they hated him. They will never come to an understanding, a knowledge of who he is, of themselves. This has to be given by God. When God sees a hunger, a thirst for righteousness, Jesus cries. He cries out, not in anger, but Jesus cries out with his whole heart, saying, "Come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink." We can just imagine the love, the passion with which he was crying out, saying, "Come to me. Why are you laboring for that which is not bread," as you read in the Old Testament? "Why are you giving all your efforts to something that's vain? Come to me," Jesus is crying out. "I am the Christ. I am the one that can save you. I am the one that's coming to give my life an offering for you. Accept me." Jesus is crying, pleading openly with the people. "Accept me for who I am. I am the Christ. Have me be real in your life. Have me be the Lord, the Master, the ruler of your life." Jesus is crying with such love for us. Come, realize who I am. The Apostle Paul, I believe it's in maybe multiple places, but I believe it's in Galatians, the first chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he's asking them, how can it be that you are so soon removed from the gospel of Christ, and so quickly after you've been taught the gospel of Christ, you're following another gospel, which is not another gospel. There is no other gospel. He's saying how he's marveling in sorrow how quickly this church of Galatia was removed from the truth. And he's saying how he himself was given the truth by revelation of Jesus Christ directly. The Apostle Paul is saying that Galatians 1:11, he's saying, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He's saying, I didn't learn the gospel from some man. It was revealed to me directly by Jesus. And I was thinking this past week, that's really the same for us. We have to receive the truth of God from God himself. No man can teach us. No man can possibly reveal unto us who God is. That has to be God. We come and we listen to sermons. We pray together. We read God's word at home. But if we're trusting in some man to teach us truly who Christ is, if we're trusting in ourselves, in our own wisdom to find out through reading who Jesus is, we'll never find him. God reveals unto us. When God sees that we have a desire to come and listen to God's word, when God sees we have a desire to read his word, then he reveals himself unto us. It's not as if we found him. We truly, just as Apostle Paul, we truly have to receive Christ into our hearts directly from him. It is directly from him that we receive this knowledge of who he is. So we are really no different than the Apostle Paul. We must receive this revelation, this truth, directly from him. Otherwise, our own understanding, our own wisdom will do us no good. It will just lift us up in pride. We thank God that his salvation is a gift. We thank him. We thank him that it is by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves, because we would boast. We would lift up ourselves and say, I am so good. Look at what I have found out. Look at me through my own understanding. Look how I have come to know who Jesus is. We thank God that that's not the way it is. We thank God that we cannot do anything of ourselves to deserve salvation. We cannot do anything of ourselves to find who Jesus is. But he comes into our hearts, and we are transformed. We are transformed into new creatures. This is what it means when Jesus is the Christ. For me, personally, it must be a personal relationship. We must confess him. We must confess who he is and say, he is my Lord and Master. And then Jesus says, if you confess me, then I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you are not shying away from confessing who I am, then I'm going to confess you. But if you are shy, if you shy away from speaking of me, then I'm going to shy away of speaking of you in the judgment. If we're embarrassed, if we're not willing to speak of him openly and show men that we are the children of God, then Jesus wants no part of that. He wants us to speak with boldness, even as he himself spoke with boldness, and the people marveled and said, never did a man speak like this man. Even some of the Jews were astonished. Some of the rulers, who the chief priests and Pharisees, they wanted these officers to take him and to arrest him. They said, why have ye not brought him? And the officers marveled and said, never man spake like this man. Then answered the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Are you also deceived by this, in their mind, this blasphemer? Are you also deceived? But they recognized that there was something great about Jesus and his teachings. They recognized, again, as we say often, that he spoke with authority. His words had meaning. His words had weight to them, because they are the words of God. We recognize when the word of God is spoken. We know it. We know truth when it's spoken. If there's something that's a half-truth, or if there's something that's not truth at all, we will know it. If we're in tune with the Spirit, we will know when something doesn't quite sound right. It will prick our ears. We'll know that something is not quite right. God will reveal that unto us. But when we hear the truth, we know it. Whether we have accepted Christ as our Savior or not, when we hear the truth of God, we know this is with authority. We know this is truth. We know the truth will prevail in the end. Oftentimes, I can say to my own shame, I think of how many false teachings there are in the world and how many versions of the Bible have been twisted to take away truths that are there purposely. We believe by the devil himself, through working through men. And sometimes I think, how can it be that someone can find God when there's so many lies out there, so much twisting of the truth? How can someone find God? But that's to my own shame that I think that, because God is so much greater than all this. He's so much greater than anything that the devil can do. When we look in the world round about us and we see so much evil, we see lies seemingly being victorious, we can think, how can it be that someone can know Jesus? But it is possible. With God, all things are possible. God is so much greater than anything the devil can do. The devil uses evil men to spread his lies, but God is so much greater than that. We thank him for that. So we know the truth, even as these men here, they knew the truth. They knew the truth was spoken with authority, and they accepted it. They were marveling. Even when Jesus was crucified, we know that a centurion and some of them that were with him, when Jesus passed away, when Jesus gave his life, I should say, there was a great earthquake, and the men marveled, and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. That revelation in that moment was given unto them by the Father. They recognized this was truly the Son of God. At that moment, it clicked to them who Jesus was. And Nicodemus here, who came to Jesus by night, he is defending Jesus, really. He's trying to give him a chance. We know that he believed. He had some belief in him. And he says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And they dismissed him. And they said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. These chief priests, the rulers of the people, they knew what the scriptures said. And they knew that Jesus was the fulfillment of these scriptures. And yet, they denied him. They still denied him. How hard their hearts were. They still denied him. And then we conclude this chapter of John 7, and it says that every man went unto his own house. And speaking with a brother last week, he mentioned this verse, and I really appreciate the way he explained it. He said, when we go home from a service, when we go home after hearing the word of God, we're all going to our own house. We come together here. We gather together because we love being together. We love hearing the truth of God explained to us. We love when God reveals himself unto us. We love when we fellowship with each other. But this evening, we're all going to go back into our own house. And we're all going to have to make a decision of who Jesus is to me. Is he truly the good master of my life? I'm going to have to make that decision. We all are. When we are all dispersed and we are sitting by ourselves in our own house, we have to think, is Jesus the Christ? Is he the Messiah for me? Is he my Savior? We're all going to have to make that decision by ourselves in the quietness of our own house. So what does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Are we left without hope that we'll never find him? Of course not. We are promised that if we seek him, we'll find him. So what are we to do then? We're to go home and pray to our Father that he would reveal his Son unto us, make his Son manifest, make him known to us. And what does it mean, again, to know who Jesus is? It means to love him. It means to serve him. It means to submit unto him. Not to deny his, not to say that he's a good man and then deny his teachings. That's what the rich young ruler did. He thought he was good of himself, and yet he denied the cross. Jesus went to the cross to die, to lay down his life. And he teaches us to die to self. He teaches us to deny self, to die daily. And if we are to profess that Jesus is my Savior and we don't do the things that he says, we don't deny ourselves, we live for this flesh and we make excuses for it, then Jesus is not our Lord. He is not our Master. So let's go home and pray to our Father that he would reveal unto us his Son. This is his plan, that he would save us through the knowledge and the understanding of who his Son is. He can save us. He promises he will save us if we believe in him with our whole heart. May God add a blessing to his word this morning. Amen.